Lovely to see you here this morning. I want to start with a scripture. It's from Matthew 6, 1 to 15. And it's Jesus really talking to the disciples. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Strong passage of scripture, factual, good directions, good instructions, and it's something that we need to hold on to. So before we come into the message, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I ask that you come upon me now, as Rob's already prayed, and just take away any fear or doubt that I might have. And Lord, strengthen me and embolden me to deliver your word in your power and with your authority. And Lord, may we take ownership of what it is you're saying to each one of us, because I'm sure there's something in your message for each one of us. Otherwise, I don't know why you give it to me to bring. But Lord, I just thank you for it, and I put my trust in you to look after me and see me safely through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this, I don't like titles, as you know, but how should we pray? You know, there are times when I think a lot of us find prayer difficult, if we're honest. But we shouldn't. We need to understand that it's not prayer that's difficult. It's us that are difficult. Because we're stubborn people, aren't we? We can get set in our own ways. And we overthink things at times instead of remembering if we are children of God, then we can approach his Father boldly, as the word tells us. But we need to keep it simple and make clear our requests, just as children do to their parents. You know, if a child wants something, he doesn't beat her about the bushes, or she doesn't beat about the bushes. Normally, I want this or I want that. You know, and that's what the Lord wants to hear from us, is what, not what we want. You can ask for what we want, but he'll only give you what you need. He may give you what you want, if you're lucky, but there's no promise of that. It's important, though, to understand that just as parents, we don't and didn't give our kids everything they asked for. Why? Because can you imagine giving a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old a gun because they asked for it? Or letting them drive the car because they asked to? Unless you take them onto an airfield where there's plenty of room and you have them sitting on your knee. That's fine, but not on a public place. You wouldn't do it. Just as our Heavenly Father only gives us what will help us to grow into the people that he has planned us to be. You remember my old friend Jeremiah said, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Well, that's exactly the way the Lord deals with our prayers. And we read in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. You'll note there that he will meet all of your needs and some of your wants. Doesn't say wants in there, but all of your needs. And no one knows what we need better than the Father, because he knows the plans he has for us, and he knows what we're going to need to achieve the plans that he has for us. The reason I believe that the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture that we've just read this morning is to help us understand the importance of prayer and how we should approach him. Have you, like me, ever wondered why, of all things, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was prayer? They could have asked him to make them better preachers. They could have asked him to make them better leaders, stronger leaders. But their focus was on how they should pray. Jesus starts off replying to their request, you will notice, by telling them how they shouldn't pray. We learn in Matthew, which you just read from Matthew 6:1-2, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father will see what is done in secret and will reward you. Then in Matthew 6:9-13, Jesus tells them, his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The most important thing that we need to remember in this prayer is that the prayer begins with worship. Our Father, hallowed be his name. So we're honoring him. We're recognizing him. His kingdom. Again, we're honoring him. It's his kingdom. And then it's his will be done. So we're giving praise to God. We're putting him the preeminent one. The middle part of the prayer, you know, it's something that people like. It's all about us. It's all about us. We need to understand that prayer is important. Then The second is about the provision that God has and that we want from him. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's not just replying to bread there. It's replying to what we need to feed us spiritually, mentally. We need his hand upon our lives. It's give us our bread. Forgive us our debts. Why? What do we ask for forgiveness? Because scripture tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's important that we ask for forgiveness. And then lead us. Again, referring to us. Lead us not into temptation. Now, I often wonder why that's in there, because the Lord will never lead us into temptation. He might test us from time to time, but he'll never lead us into temptation. He'll never tempt us into sin. He'll test us to see if we follow his word and his direction, but he will not do anything that would lead us into sin. The prayer then is concluded again by praise and worship, recognizing it's his kingdom, it's his power and his glory. And a little side thought just came to me when I was writing this, you know. His kingdom, he's the King of Kings. His power, to me, that sounds like where we get our power from, the Holy Spirit. I could be totally wrong. Don't take this for gospel. This is Jerry Kelly's. And his glory was his son, Jesus. Because you remember, Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, that I may glorify you, Father, as you glorify me. So it's actually recognizing the Trinity. Yeah, God, the three in one. And we all know three in one is good for loosening joints and getting things moving. And there's no way that we can move in the Spirit without the three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's important that we remember that our Heavenly Father likes to have regular contact with us, his children. He is concerned about everything that is happening in our lives. You know, if you have any problem or worries, no matter how big or how small they are not either too big or too small for him to be interested in. And he would love to hear from us at any time so that he can guide us through the problems that we're going through at that time. You know, his word ensures us, reassures us even. In Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Wow, what a promise. That's why prayer is so important. If you don't ask, you don't get. And it's true, isn't it? If you don't ask, people don't know what you're looking for. You need to ask. It might be direction, might be instructions. If you're going down to Wales, what's the best route to take? But the best route, if you want guidance in life, is through prayer. And listen to God's directions. Now, I'm sure we have all told our children and our grandchildren, if you have any problems, if anything's annoying you, if anybody's bullying you at school, if there's anything you need, let us know. And we'll try and help you, sorted it out. If they don't tell us, can we help them with any of those problems? No, because we're not at school with them. We don't know what's going on in their mind. We might see that they're feeling low. But if they don't unburden their problems to us, then there's very little that we can do to help them. And it's the same with the Lord. He knows what we're going through. He knows the problems that we have. But he's waiting. He's a gentle God. Everything is your free will. He will only step in when you invite him. And that's why it's important to realize, even when we come to the Lord, he has invited us to become his brother or sister. The Lord has. He hasn't forced us to. He hasn't persuaded us to. He's invited us. And if you've taken that invite up, then you become his brother, his daughter, and God is your father. If we don't tell the Lord's prayer, the Lord in prayer, sorry, our needs and our worries, then we can miss out on wonderful blessings. He can relieve all that pressure, lift it off our shoulders, and give us joy. And we need to remember that when you come to the Lord, you get eternal life as soon as you've accepted him. Okay, you don't notice it, you don't benefit from it until you've gone. But you do benefit from it, because how much happier have those who have accepted the Lord been after they've accepted him and walking with him than they were in their old life. When you become a new creation in Jesus, then your life blossoms. That's what I've found. It blossoms. A lot of the worries are taken away because you don't feel a need to get involved in certain things which used to take up a lot of your time and waste a lot of your time. You know, prayer is, I would go as far as to say, the most important part of our Christian walk. Why? Well, I'm sure you all know that Jesus never did anything without first speaking with the Father. Just go look at Scripture. Every time he used to go back away from the disciples, he might have taken two or three of them, but he'd leave them away so he'd go in private and communicate with the Father to replenish his strength and to seek his guidance. If Jesus needed to be refreshed from his Father, how much more do we need that refreshing? It's important that we recognize, if you're listening to this and you haven't as yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the sad thing is, you cannot call God your Father. As Scripture tells us in John 14 and 6, when his disciples asked, Jesus answered, telling them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It couldn't be any clearer. That's the only way anyone can call God their Father and claim all of his promises, which are yes and amen. If anyone listening to this message has not as yet accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I sincerely pray that you would consider the alternative and decide to follow Jesus, because there is no other way into heaven but through him. Amen. Let's come together in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, thank you for your word. It couldn't be any clearer, the importance of prayer. Yet sometimes it's so neglected. I'm guilty, I admit, Lord, and there's times when we think that we can get over it. We can do it all on our own, and it's only when it doesn't work that we realize that we know someone who can do anything. Nothing is too difficult for thee, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'll keep your hand upon us. Just feed us from your word. Encourage us, Lord, and help us to get around your word and to have really close involvement with you, Lord, to tell you everything. Nothing is too little or too big. Nothing is too difficult for you to deal with, Lord. And we are difficult people at times. We can be so complicated in lots of ways. But Lord, just free us up and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.